Current state on WKAR. Michigan's long, dangerous winter months can give anyone the blues, but it's actually a very dangerous time for the homeless. Hundreds of people in mid-Michigan live on the streets, and their circumstances are quite diverse. In Lansing, officials are so far pleased with the results of a pilot program to move 11 people out of a makeshift camp and into permanent housing. And current state's Kevin Lavery is here to explain. Kevin, who's driving this effort?
Melissa, it's a number of groups. Volunteers of America Michigan is at the forefront, but they're also working with about a half a dozen other local agencies. If I try to mention them all, I would probably leave a couple of them out. That's the same fear that actors have when they give their Academy Award right. acceptance speech. You know how that goes. I spoke with two people on the issue, and you'll hear from both of them in just a moment. First is Sharon Dade, and she's the Vice President of Social Services for VOA Michigan. She says the team set its sights on a small campsite near the Grand River in North Lansing.
That particular encampment had about 10 to 11 people living there permanently. For an encampment site, it was fairly well organized. We went out and did a lot of outreach just to make sure we could build relationship with the folks that were living there to let them know what it was that we were trying to accomplish, to get them in temporary housing, out of the cold, and then do the work necessary to move them into permanent housing.
How do you find these encampments?
Well, you know, I think because we work with the homeless every day, we get to know folks personally, and they tell us. They just talk to us in general about where folks are living. They come in, they may live outside and still come in to eat. Or if it gets very cold, they may come into a warming center or into the shelter. So we get to know them well enough to kind of know where the encampments are. And then, of course, the Lansing Police Department is very helpful.
You mentioned the police just now. Some people are intimidated by the sign of authority, by the sign of a uniform. What's the technique for coming into an encampment?
It really is about building relationship and respecting the fact that it is a person's home. Whether we see it that way or not, it is their home. And so we want to be very respectful in our engagements with folks. We want to make sure that we're letting them know who we are, what we came to do, and that we keep our word. So if we say we're going to do something, we do it. If we say we're showing up tomorrow at 10, we show up tomorrow at 10. If we say we're going to bring something to them, we bring it so that we build that steady relationship and can move forward toward moving them into a more stable housing situation.
We're talking with Sharon Day, the Vice President for Social Services at Volunteers of America, Michigan. Give me a profile, if you will, Sharon, of who some of these people are. What are some of the characteristics of the people that you come across?
That's a tough question to answer because I think it crosses all kinds of boundaries and barriers. In organized encampments, it's not unusual to find a veteran leading the way because veterans have been trained to live in very difficult situations. Many times I will learn that a veteran has taught someone how to live on the streets. I think with folks aging out of foster care and not having a good plan for that, it is not unusual to find a couple of young folks are folks who have just had challenges in life, whether it's medical challenges, mental health challenges. It's a tough situation. Most of the folks we'll find will likely be men, but you may find some women out there as well. And so to think about what it means to not have any other choices but to live outside, it's a tough thing for folks to kind of wrestle with, that all of my choices are gone, and so I'm living under 20 blankets in order to stay warm enough to survive, or living in some sort of a shelter encampment that I've had to put together myself. So their lives have kind of moved to a place where they don't have a lot of attachments and they don't have a lot of resources.
That was the place Rebecca Porter found herself in almost a year ago.
Well, in January, I lost my job of 10 years after becoming sick and was hospitalized. And from there, with no income, I lost my house and became homeless. Placed my kids with my sister and then went into a shelter here at the VOA.
How many children do you have?
I have four. My oldest is 16 and then my youngest is 9.
What did they think of the situation when it happened to you?
It was devastating. We never thought that I would be homeless for this long. I put my name on waiting lists for Section 8 and stuff, and was hoping that by going to the shelter and getting help that I would be placed in housing and back with my kids again. But it's taken a little longer than what we thought. A lot of the shelters are full, so that's how I ended up going to the camp.
How did you find the camp? How did you know where to go? I think a lot of people don't even realize that these settlements exist all around them. It's just kind of under most people's radar.
I actually was in a different camp at first, in the back 40, which is behind the VOA. But my tent was vandalized. It was burnt to the ground. And so a friend of mine and someone who has helped me since I've been homeless is who took me to try to pretty much hide me out in a different camp so that the same thing wouldn't happen to me again. And that's how I found the camp that I was at when the VOA came and got us out of the encampment.
Were you there or nearby when it was burned down? That must have been a shock, obviously.
It was a shock. I left long enough to go to the clinic here at the VOA, was gone for about 45 minutes and came back and all my belongings were burnt.
As if you had that much to begin with when you got there.
Right, just a backpack worth of stuff. That's it. In a little kiddie tent. I was actually sleeping in a kid's, like, pop-up little kid's tent at the time, which I thought things couldn't get worse then. And then to not even have that was devastating.
We're speaking with Rebecca Porter, formerly homeless in Lansing, who is receiving some help from the Volunteers of America in Lansing to receive permanent housing. Rebecca, what did you think about homelessness before you were homeless yourself, and what did you learn when it finally happened to you?
Quite honestly, I didn't really think about it a lot, and I'd never in a million years thought that there were as many people homeless as what I found out there are. The shelters are full. It definitely opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. I look at people a lot differently. I look at some of the people that I see that are homeless, people who, you know, have a need. I look at them a lot differently. I never, before becoming homeless, would have went to a soup kitchen to eat, or, you know, I guess pride might have gotten in the way of that, but there are a lot of good programs out here to help people who do have a need.
What's the transition been like to get out of the camp?
Well, they came through. It was pretty quick, actually. When they came through, it was kind of like, grab what you want to take, and what you take now, is your everything else gets left behind. They put us in hotels, the 11 of us, and we've been there for a month now, but working, I mean, very strict about attending meetings, doing everything that we have to do to get into permanent housing, help with getting people appointments with, like, community mental health to help deal with these issues that might come up, because a lot of the people, I mean, I was homeless for a year, but some of them, it's been 10, 15 years they've been homeless. So, yep, I'm in a hotel now, and I have my Section 8 voucher, so I'm going to have assistance with housing, and I'm just waiting to get an apartment now.
Rebecca's go-to person for the basics of life is Amanda Fleckenstein, the VOA's Housing Network Coordinator. She says this relocation program isn't just one more revolving door. In fact, it's a pilot program officials hope to replicate across the Lansing area.
One of the most important things about this program is that it is not just putting them in a hotel to warm up for a little bit and then sending them back out on their own. They're getting all the tools that they need to hopefully continue and function in society with a new start. We have helped those who don't have ID get any form of ID that they're in need of. They all now have health insurance. They've all seen a doctor through our free clinic that we partner with Sparrow. And many of them have established the doctor there at the clinic as their GP, their general practitioner now. They are getting job coaching if they request it. They've gotten bus passes so they can get around. They are now registered for food assistance through the state of Michigan. My continued job will be to make sure that they have the tools that they need to continue and sustain and be able to function on their own for the rest of their lives.
But above all these material goods, the one thing Rebecca Porter treasures most is still intact.
Have you been able to spend much time with your kids?
Yep, I see them every day. I go and visit every day. So, yeah, it's nice. That's the other bonus as far as, I had a lot of trouble when I was in a shelter. There's curfew, and with kids going to school all day, by the time I could ride the bus to go see them, I would only have maybe an hour to spend with them. At least now I'm in the hotel, you know, I can spend a couple hours with them. I can, you know, make sure that they're tucked into bed and then get on the bus and go back to my room. I have a phone in my room, so I'm able to talk to them whenever they want to call or whenever I, you know, can call them. So, I mean, that's another thing, you know, being in a camp, like I said, I've lost everything, IDs, phones, you know, clothes, you know, so I wasn't always, I've went months without being able to even contact my kids.
And again, I think you said this, but what do you think your timeline is now to be able to get into permanent housing?
I'm hoping by Christmas. That's all I want for Christmas this year, is being in an apartment. Yep. That's it.
Rebecca Porter is recovering from a year-long ordeal of being homeless, and her end is almost in sight. Rebecca, it takes a lot of guts to speak with me about this topic and about what's happened in your life. Thank you.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.